Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm coming to you from Kenya. Beautiful sunny morning this morning, and we've been having some good rain. We got our maize and beans planted out at the Shamba, and we're getting ready to plant a few vegetables, some tomatoes and greens and different things. And so God is good here in Kenya. We're so far a virus-free country here in Kenya, and I pray that that continues to happen. For those of you in the USA, I ask you to look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a prayer of protection for you under the wings of the Lord, under the shelter of the Almighty. And in Psalm 91, it says that no deadly virus or no deadly pestilence will come near your tent. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, and yet it will not cause you to fall. And so you pray that over your family, pray that over your household, pray that over your business, pray that over your gatherings, your meetings, your church meetings, and the Lord will protect you. The Lord will give you strength. The Lord will shelter you under the shadow of his wings. And so we pray that for ourselves here in Kenya. We've been dealing with malaria, which kills millions and millions of people, not just a few. And so we deal with that every day. Malaria, cholera, HIV, Ebola. I was in Congo 2012 when the Ebola virus was breaking out in Congo, and I was protected by the Lord. I came back to the USA and had a bit of a self-quarantine. I was taking my temperature every day and calling the health clinic, the medical clinic. And so God has protected me through all of my travels. I've been in Africa off and on for 10 years now. Never, to my knowledge, never had malaria yet. And everybody around me gets malaria just about. And so God will protect you. You honor God. You respect him. And you give him the glory that is his due, and he will protect you. He will cover you with his wings. Well, we're going to talk about patience today. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. And brothers and sisters, we all need patience. We know that. We easily lose our temper. We easily lose our composure. We get anxious. We get frustrated. We want to see the Lord move in our life yesterday, and if not yesterday, first thing today. And so we get frustrated because we don't see our prayers answered. We get frustrated with other people because they don't seem to be doing what we want them to do, or they don't act in the way that we want them to act. And so patience is a virtue that we all need a big dose of. And I guess it just goes with the human condition that we tend to be impatient. We want everything. It comes from our selfish ambitions. It comes from our human nature that we want to see everything happen in our life immediately. And that affects our prayer life. That affects our walk with the Lord. It affects our human relationships. We get impatient with people that we're working with our spouses, with our children. And so this message is going to be an appropriate message for every single person out there listening today. So in Isaiah 40, Isaiah addresses this. This is a bit of a prophetic word here. I'm going to start in verse 29. Isaiah says, "He, the Lord, gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And this is one of the more famous passages of scripture in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is just full of prophetic, very powerful prophetic passages of scripture. And what Isaiah is saying here is those that wait on the Lord Jesus. And Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of the Lord Jesus, and not just the coming, but also the life with Lord Jesus. And he says, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Beloved, this will not only renew your strength in your soul and in your spirit, but a walk with the Lord will renew your flesh and it will give you new strength that you never had before. You know, those that walk with the Lord, those that attend church, those that have a good walk with the Lord, statistically, it has been studied by many different organizations and polling and research organizations, that those that have a good walk with the Lord, those that go to church and attend church regularly and have a life that is full of order and full of peace, that they actually live longer. They don't have as many divorces. They don't have as much illness in their life. And so I know in the church we have people that have surgeries, we have people that get sick, and we have people that get cancer and all that. But statistically, if you have a good walk with the Lord, you will be in a better situation physically in your physical body than those who don't. And you will live out your days. Your days will be full of strength. You will see your destiny. You will live out your destiny. The Lord says we are granted 70 years, and if by strength, 80. And so you will live out your destiny. You will see your children and your grandchildren grow up, and possibly your great-grandchildren. And so that is God's will for your life. Those that wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength, and you will mount up with wings like eagles. Well, you all know about the eagles. The eagle flies very high. He's not a bird that flies low along the earth. He flies very high. He looks and he sees his feed, and he's also up there, I believe, just enjoying the landscape, just looking down on the earth. I was up on top, near the top of Long's Peak in Rocky Mountain National Park a few years ago. I was probably above 14,000 feet, because the very peak of the mountain was just a few hundred feet from me, and elevation-wise, it was maybe 200 feet above me or less, maybe 100 feet above me. And an eagle flew over my head when I was up there near 14,000 feet. And so they fly very high. They see the landscape. They don't get involved in the earthly battles. And I believe that's why the Lord says that we are to mount up like eagle's wings. He wants us to fly high. Get your focus off of this earth. Get your focus off of your circumstances. Get your focus on Jesus Christ. Get your focus in the heavenly places. Paul says that we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. So get your vision focused on being seated in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ and not on your earthly walk. Yes, there's going to be things that will occupy your attention. There are things that are going to occupy your time and occupy your energy here on the earth. Put your whole heart into it. Put your whole life into it. But keep your vision, keep your focus as if you are up there with the eagles up on top of Long's Peak, and you are looking down on your life. And just remember that you don't live here. You're not a citizen of this place. Yes, we walk on the earth, and we have to get our Kansas driver's license and our U.S. passport and all that stuff. But your vision has to come from heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We are just passing through this earthly life. And so don't get rocked every time a little virus blows through. Don't get rocked every time some circumstance or a big bill shows up in your mailbox. Just keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on His kingdom and mount up just like you were an eagle. Get up there with that high vision. And then the Lord says through Isaiah, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so you're going to be called to do things that will test you physically. You're going to be called to be tested spiritually and in every other way. Some of you are going to be called into the ministry. Some of you are going to be called into worship leader and into other facets of the ministry. And just run with it. Just run with it. Get your focus on Jesus and go with it. At one point in time, I had no idea that the Lord would send me to Africa to preach, and yet I have been able to do that by the grace of God. And I have stood up in front of many, many thousands of people, maybe close to 500,000 to 1 million people now. I don't know. It's been many, many over the 10 years. And I've averaged 3 to 4 crusades over here per year. And so by the grace of God, I have been able to stand in front of many people and preach the gospel. And I believe you can too. There's people out there listening today that you have a calling to be an evangelist. You have a calling to be a pastor, a teacher, a worker in the kingdom. And so pick up that mantle and run with it. Go with it. Pick up that mantle and be something beyond what you think you can be for yourself. The prophetic part of this is you look much better in the future than you look right now. And so God has a plan for you. He spoke it over you. Even before you were born, He spoke it over you, and He wants to see that plan come to pass, but He has to have your full cooperation, and He has to have your love the Lord with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And when you do that, God is going to exalt you. He'll raise you up. He'll lift you up. He may even bring you to Africa. No, I'm just joking. He may bring you to Africa. He may send you to the remote part of the earth. And what could be greater than that, beloved? I've been clear over into Congo and places where few people have never been. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, I was in places where Mazungas, white people, had never preached before. I was the first Mazunga to preach in that church in Busere Sere in Tanzania. And so I was very honored to do that. But I don't tell you that to boast. It's not to put stripes on my shoulder or pins on my lapel. I do that because I love the Lord Jesus. I want people here in Africa to know about Him and know about His love for them. And I want people here in Africa to have salvation. All right, the next scripture we're going to look at is Psalm verse 40, another great scripture in regards to waiting on the Lord. And this is a psalm of David. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, or he leaned over and He listened to me, and He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Well, this is a great song. David had been down in the pit of despair, the pit of desperation. He had repented of his sin. He had fallen into sin with Bathsheba, one of his comrade's wife. David had grabbed her and had a child with her. And that child, the Lord took that child as a sacrifice from David. And so David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Well, what does it mean to wait patiently for the Lord? What does it mean to wait on the Lord? When you love the Lord Jesus and when you're waiting on the Lord, you're waiting on Him as if you're a waiter in a fine restaurant. You know, if your best customer, your client comes in to a fine restaurant and you're a waiter, you're going to cater to that person. You're going to get that person everything they need. You're going to get the drinks on the table quickly and without any mistakes. You're going to get the food on the table without any problems, without any mistakes, and you'll fix it just like your customer wants it. I was in the restaurant business for 22 years, and so I know a bit about waiting on people, and we served many, many people, and so that is waiting on the Lord. As you get the Lord what He desires, you take care of Him. If He needs His feet washed, you wash His feet. If He needs a drink of water, you get Him a drink of water. That is waiting on the Lord. Well, how does it look in practical steps? What practical steps do you take to wait on the Lord? It involves Bible study every day. It involves prayer every day. It involves carrying out the will of God in your life every day. If God has you in a position of ministry, do you do your very best in that ministry? If He has you as a bus driver or a teacher or a farmer, whatever it is God has you doing, and whatever it is your calling is, if you don't have a job, your job is to find a job. If you have had a problem with work ethic and you have not had a desire to work, you need to change that right away. That is your calling right now today, is to try to change your life. And so you will have a not only a desire to work, but a joy to work. That is an honorable thing, to have a job. It's an honorable thing to work, to go each day and fulfill your job and do a good job for your boss, or if you're working for yourself, put in a good hard day's work of honest effort and honest labor. And so when you're waiting on the Lord, yes, you have prayer requests. There's things you want to see happen today. We all have things that we've been praying for and we'd like to see the Lord answer instantly today. But I ask you this, if we all had our prayer requests granted this very day, what would our prayer life look like? You know, everybody wants a miracle. They run from meeting to meeting seeking a miracle. They run from church to church praying for a miracle, and yet they get very frustrated. They get very impatient, and God just wants you in there for the long haul, to the very last day of your life. And so we wait patiently, and we pray every day. We seek the Lord's face every day. We study His Word every day. And some days He's going to grant you your prayer requests, and other days He's going to say, keep praying, hang in there, persevere. And so that builds patience, it builds strength, and you will then see the promise that God has for you, that His walk with you is for every day here on this earth. And it's not about receiving your miracle. If you don't receive it, you praise the Lord. If you do receive it, you praise the Lord. And every day then just becomes a walk with the Lord. Well, He picked David up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set his feet upon a rock, or upon a firm foundation. I feel like that's the story of my life, because at one point in a time, I was down in the miry clay. I was in the horrible pit, and God picked me up by the grace of God. It was no doing of my own. God picked me up and He set my feet on a firm foundation. He showed me His plan for my life. He showed me my destiny, and I began to walk in those steps. He established my steps. He set my feet on a firm foundation. And verse 3 in Psalm 40, it says, He has put a new song in my mouth. Beloved, I love to sing. I love to praise the Lord. I don't know very many of these African songs, so I don't sing along with them. But in the spirit, I am singing with them. I don't need to know the words. I don't need to know the melody. In my spirit, I'm singing along with them. And so when you take up your walk with the Lord and you wait patiently for the Lord and you spend your days in study and in prayer and in fellowship, you're going to praise God. God is going to put a new song in your mouth, and it will not be the old tired song. It will not be singing the blues. The song will be a song of praise to our God. Maybe God will even make you a songwriter. You can pick up an instrument, learn how to play the guitar, play the keyboard, play the drums, whatever it is God has for you. And He will pick you up and He will give you a new song in your mouth, a new song in your heart, and you will be praising God. And then it says here, the final word in this Psalm 40, verse 3, it says, many will see it and fear, and they will put their trust in the Lord. And so people will see you praising. People will see your walk with the Lord. People will see your patience in the midst of calamity. People will see your patience in the midst of stress and in the midst of fear. There are many people around the world that are gripped by the coronavirus fear, and they're doing very unreasonable things, buying up a year's supply of toilet paper or whatever it is that they're doing, and it's just unreasonable fear driving their behavior. And so when the Lord puts a new song in your mouth and you can praise the Lord with that song, it says many will see it and they will fear the Lord and they will put their trust in Him. And so when people see your behavior and people see your patience in the midst of chaos, when people see your patience in the midst of fear, and you have faith and you have perseverance, you have patience, and you have peace about you, that passes their understanding. It says they're going to fear the Lord and they will put their trust in Him. And so the way you praise the Lord, the way you put your trust in Him, the way you put your faith in Him affects other people, and the Bible that they read may be watching your life. That may be the only Bible they read. And so they will watch you, they will see you, they will seek you, they will come to you for counsel, they will seek you out, and they will put their trust in the Lord because of your good behavior and your peace. Well, another situation where the Lord says to wait on Him, we look in the book of Acts, which was one of the more profound occurrences in the whole Bible, when Jesus was getting ready to be taken up into heaven. This is 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus was with the disciples for the last time in Jerusalem, and He is waiting with the disciples, and He is giving them final instructions before He departs to heaven. And He is with the disciples, and He says to them in Acts 1, verse 4, "And while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You heard from Me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was saying to the disciples, it's coming. The disciples didn't know exactly what He was talking about. They really didn't have any comprehension of what He was talking about. And yet they waited out of obedience. They said, "Okay, Lord, if this is Your desire for us, okay, Lord, if this is Your instruction, we're going to follow Your instruction. We're going to be patient. We're going to wait for what You have promised us." And Jesus said, "Wait for the promise of the Father." And this was the Holy Spirit, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so how long did they have to wait? They weren't even sure. They didn't know exactly. Jesus didn't say wait 2 hours. He didn't say wait 2 days. He didn't say wait a week. Well, it turns out they had to wait for 10 days. 10 days. And they were in prayer, they were in fasting, they were in fellowship. And so when they waited for the promise, God is faithful to the promise to them. He's faithful in the promise to you. When you wait on the Lord, you're going to receive the promises of God. When you get ahead of the Lord, or you're behind the Lord, and your timing is being pushed by your own selfish ambition, or your timing is being pushed by your own pride, or your procrastination, or other things in your life that are pushing your behavior, you're going to miss the great things that God has for you. You're going to miss the visitation of the Lord if you're not waiting on Him. And so God's will is that you wait on Him, you stay in prayer, you stay in fasting, you stay in fellowship, you honor God with your life. And so as the disciples waited on the Lord here in the book of Acts, guess what happened in the second chapter? The Holy Spirit was poured out on them. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, so they're still in fellowship. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, they were obedient. They waited on the Lord. They didn't know what was coming, but they had trust in the Lord Jesus, and they trusted in His instruction. They trusted in His word. And so they were obedient to wait on the Lord. And 10 days after Jesus was taken up from them, 10 days after He departed from them, the promise of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit came to them. And those same somewhat meek and mild, those same people who were afraid to go out and preach, who had been scattered at the resurrection, those very same men, they went out and changed the world with the message of the gospel. They changed the world with their zeal, with their passion, with their desire to go to the ends of the earth. And they all gave up their life for the gospel. All but one, John, the Apostle John, was crucified or tortured or killed in some other way. And John finished his life on the Isle of Patmos, but he would also suffer much for the gospel. Well, beloved, that is the message for today. When you learn to wait on the Lord, that is a lifestyle. That is a journey. That is something you just do every day, and the Lord will bless you when you learn to wait on Him. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We thank you for all the prayers of support and donations over the many years, and we praise the Lord for this time together. If you want to help support this ministry, not only the radio broadcast, but the project in Africa, sit down, write us out a check, drop us a letter, let us know that you're listening, and we would appreciate that for the many projects we have going here in Africa, and you can be a part of supporting those projects. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.